Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, 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 this is Lean Keys Real Talk 5000. Lean Keys Real Talk 5000. This is the UFC 281 preview show as well. Of course, UFC 281 is on Saturday. It's about to be fireworks. You read the description. It's about to be fireworks. And I'm looking forward to it, man. It's going to be good. It's kind of crazy how they did 280 and 281. I want to say it was like 3 weeks apart. It's about 3 weeks apart, roughly. And that's pretty crazy because two high-level, you know, high-stakes cards. It's kind of wild, you know. A lot of big fights on those two. A lot of big fights on those two cards combined. I don't know how. I don't know how, but I feel like we're blessed for it. Lee, what's going on, bro? How you doing?
Oh, man, what's goody, man? Hey, I'm just chilling, man. All the thing is, damn, I wish this was starting in the afternoon like the last one. I like those early start times, man. It's something about these late ones that, man, especially being back east, I'm like, man, good grace, they got to be standing up about 11, 12 o'clock, man. But, yeah, this is a good one, though, man. This is a good one.
Yeah, this is going to be one of those ones that, I mean, I know they're always super late. I mean, those are still my favorite times to watch. I love, you know, watching UFC late. Now, I just feel like it brings a different vibe, man. You know, when I was hungover when I was watching UFC 280. Like, I was really hungover. I drank a lot the night before. So 280, I was really hungover. So I was already really low energy while I was watching it anyways. But I think what added to that was that it was, like, broad daylight when I watched it. Like, it was, you know, 2:30 or whatever by the time I was getting to my boy's house to watch the main card. And that just doesn't really do it for me. Like, I was still standing up at a certain point. Like, once I got some food in me, like, a lot of times I'll be standing up for the fights and I'm, like, live commentating the fights while I'm watching. I'm just not talking to people. Now I'm talking to the TV. And I still did that, but, like, it doesn't, you know, when I would sit back down, I kind of be just lounging. I wasn't really locked in, you know what I mean? It was kind of just, but when you get the nighttime cards, it kind of gives me the day to get into it. I get to go to the liquor store. You know, this one in particular, I have work, so I'll be getting off work, hitting the liquor store on my way back down, figuring out what I'm going to order for food or whatever I'm going to do for food, get back. And I don't know, man, it's going to be good. Those late night cars, it just, I don't know, it hits me different, man. I feel like that those are the ones where I lock in, man, the most. It's like going to a movie, you know. I feel like going to a movie at night kind of hits different for me than going to a movie during the day. Like, the movie can still be good, but I feel like the nighttime movie feel, especially, like, depending on the type of movie, you're going to go see something scary or see a horror movie, something like this, and you go see it at night, like, it definitely enhances it for me, you know, the whole feel inside the theater and out, So it's a similar thing with me with the UFC cars, but, you know, everyone has their preference. This one, you know, is in Madison Square Garden, you know, UFC's annual trip to MSG, man. How you feel about this one? Is this card, let me ask you this, is this card enough for MSG? You feel like this is MSG, like, and this is no loaded question. I'm not trying to insinuate the answer. You know, I'm just asking. Do you think this is MSG level card or is it not?
I think it's MSG worthy. Like always, I do have a problem with some of the fight placement. But outside of that, I think this is a card worthy of the US MSG. You get two title fights. You get two top five lightweights going at it. You get Frankie Edgar's last fight. He's from Jersey, so you know there's gonna be a lot of people there supporting him. But some of the fight placement, you know, like always, you know, me and you question some of the fight placement, and I question some of the fight placement on this. But overall, I would say, yes, this is a MSG-worthy card.
Yeah, man. I mean, I'll say this, and this is, you know, this might be a hot take, and I know this isn't really the format, but I really don't think, you know, I kind of like the fact that one thing that I want to say I've seen it in one championship that they'll kind of do this. And I don't think I've ever seen it in the UFC, but one championship doesn't always load all the title fights at the top of the card. Sometimes they're sprinkled throughout the card, and I'm sure there's a number of reasons why they do that, but I think one reason that the UFC could probably benefit from doing that is what, like, is to get the right fight placement. Like, you don't have, like, just because it's a title fight does not mean it's a bigger fight, you know? And
true.
If you're going to tell me either one of these two things, one, that Carlos Esparza versus Wiley Zhang, Zhang Wiley, is a bigger fight, is a bigger fight, or that it's going to be a better fight than Poirier versus Chandler, that's a double negative, man, and you're crazy. You're crazy, because there's ain't no way that either one of those is even close to true. You know, we all know Poirier and Chandler is the people's soulmate event, man. Y'all know that. You might not want to say it. You know, you might be scared of the feminist crowd or whatever, but I ain't scared, bro. Say it, man. There is no way, no how, okay? And not to mention, I mean, Zhang Wiley, I mean, really, she lost twice and then got one win, and now she's in a title fight. It's like that division kind of sucks to the point where you kind of have to keep pushing the same fighters. So, I mean, I give her – but you know what? Out of all the – I really don't – and y'all know, I don't really care too much about the women's division. It doesn't really do much for me. Y'all know I have, like, my – maybe one or two names that I like to watch. You know, I like to watch Irene Aldana. That's probably one of the only ones that I want to watch the fights for. And
Tisha Torres.
Yeah, Tisha Torres. Yeah, I have my few names that I always want to watch. Yeah, Tisha Torres, exactly. Like, those are the ones that I always want to watch their fights. But, like, besides that, like, I don't really care about the women's division. I just feel like they don't engage, and it's kind of pathetic to a point. And I heard that main event that they just had was kind of like that. I was reading about it. They said it was like that until the finish happened. So I'm glad I don't watch a lot of these cards where I kind of get that feeling about it. But either way, it comes back to the point of at least Zhang Wiley is one of the few that is not just there to point fight and there to, you know, bounce around and not engage and do a whole lot of nothing that most of these female fighters do in the UFC. And just bounce to a decision. At least Zhang Wiley, I respect her for putting in the work and coming forward and doing everything to win the fight. You know, and getting better in her, with her shortcomings.
Her
craft, you know,
yep.
With her shortcomings, she didn't have the work on the mat, so she put in work on the mat. She started training with Henry Cejudo, which I really respect him and that she did that. And that was the right place to go. And you could see that her wrestling got better. Even though she lost the rematch against Rose, you could tell that she looked a lot better than she did before. You know, it wasn't just, okay, she has submissions on the ground now. It wasn't like, okay, it's just the jiu-jitsu threat. Now she's actually a wrestler too. And I respect that. But either way, you know, I still think Poirier and Chandler is the people's co-main event. Do you think that's the people's – what do you think? Is that one of the ones, or what else would you have shifted around on the card, bro?
Okay. First of all, I don't know why Dan Hooker is on the main card. I don't understand that fight placement. I probably would have had more Conor and Brad Riddle probably on the main card, followed by – actually, I would have had Barza and Wiley Zhang lead off the card in the number one spot, followed by Frankie Edgar and Chris Gutierrez, and then probably Brad Riddle and Renato Moicano. Or, you know, I don't really care for Dominique Reyes, but I do like Ryan Spann. But in the early prelims, you got Matt Frivola versus Ahmet Azatar. That's going to be a good fight. I wouldn't mind that one being like the main event for the prelims. But I would have started it off with Carlos Esparza and Wiley Zhang, followed by maybe the Brad Riddle fight. And then you get Frankie And then you got, let me see, one, two, three, four. Then I would have had Dustin Poirier and Michael Chandler, five round. I would have had them in a five round co-main event, followed by the championship fight between Adesanya and Pereira. Yeah. But like you said, there's always questionable fights that you wonder why they put fights in certain spots. I think they do a lot of these women fights and the co-main event spot is because they know that people, once the pay-per-view start, what are the chances that you're going to miss a fight? You really going to try to go to the bathroom between fights? If you're on a bar, you're going to try to order your drinks in between fights. Normally, you want to be sitting down watching the fight. So I think that's why they do it. But at the same time with you, sometimes you got to use a little bit of common sense, man. There's no way that Esparza and Wally Zane should be the co-main event when you got two top five lightweights on the same card. I can see Carla Esparza and Wally Zane maybe being higher in the card than Frankie Edgar, especially higher than Dan Hooker. But the UFC, man, they trying to get a women's division as much eyes on it as possible. But I think Dana and the UFC need to pull all the women together. And I think they need a pep talk, man. Y'all have to, come on. I understand that naturally, you know, women are a little bit timid. But when you're in this game, I think you should be fighting with your hair on fire, man. You know, and we just don't see that in a lot of fights. But at the same time, as long as there's women in the UFC, Dana is going to try to do his best to make sure they get, you know, they proper shine. Like you said, fight placement does matter, and I think in this one here, fight placement could have had Esparza and Wally Zane lead off the pay-per-view, then followed by two other fights, and then, three other fights, and then you get into the main event.
I mean, like, if you were to ask me a couple of years ago the same question, I would have said there's no way because, like, even 3 years ago, if you would have asked me the same question, like, I want to say we had a completely different tone on this topic 3 years ago and since we've been. But more recently, I'm trying to just be so firm with my takes, you know, and my opinions. I'm not going to sit here and act like that I enjoy watching fights that I don't enjoy watching, you know what I mean? And it's because you don't have – there's, like, no storyline. There's no, like – it's never – like, there's no heated – like, it's not heated, no competitiveness. Like, you don't see – and then on top of it, they get in there and, you know, they're jabbing away, you know, keeping distance and – you know, doing a whole lot of just nothing, you know what I mean? Most of these fights, and it's kind of old, man. You know, it's like, I watched that, who is it on the 280 card that I watched? Ah, she's undefeated. I think she undefeated. No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't.
Oh, yeah, it was. The Moreau young lady, and she was fighting, the veteran girl. Yeah, she was fighting 2 Kagan. And the young lady, she wanted to fight, but 2 Kagan didn't want to engage. She just kept fighting at distance and kicking. But the other young lady was trying to get in there and mix it up.
But that's what I'm trying to say is that, like, it's just like that kind of thing where you end up with, like, man, we're going to another decision. You know what I mean? Like, you don't see – Like props to Fiorota, Foro, I'm not sure how to pronounce the last name, but, like, props to her for trying to, you know, make the fight, you know. Props to her for trying to bring the fight on and coming forward. But, like, Drew Kagan, it's like, come on, man. Like, what? Why do we have to, like, why do I have to sit here and act like I enjoy watching this type of thing? You know what I mean? There's no competitiveness. There's no, like, there's no nothing, man. They go in there, and then it's like they don't even realize they're fighting in a cage, it seems like. And then they just want to cruise to a decision. And it's just, it's pitiful, man. That's why I don't even, like, that's why my tone has changed so much, for anybody who's ever wondering. Because I'm just kind of sick of it. You know, I like what I like. I'm not going to try to, you know what I mean, get people to like me by saying, all these fighters are warriors, they're all amazing. It's like, no, they're not, man. They're not all warriors. They're not all amazing. Like, they're not all impressive, you know. A lot of these fighters, it's like you said, they're so timid, and they don't want to do anything. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know, man. That's never going to get you where you want to be. I'll say that. It's never going to get you where you want to be, and you're not going to get up there. It's like, how do you think Nunes has the – and I honestly – I mean, Nunes isn't even really somebody that I'm really checking for. Like, I can acknowledge the work and, like, you know, I respect her, the work she's put in, but I don't – she's not really someone I'm like, oh, damn, I got to watch that Nunes fight, you know what I mean? But either way, how do you think you could get to that level of the way Nunes is respected and looked at being a female in the UFC if you're going to keep on cruising the decisions like that? Like, why do you think Nunes is at the height that she's at when it comes to women's MMA? Why do you think she's one of those names that people bring up? It's like, come on now. Like, stop playing around. Like, you're never going to be there. You know what I mean? So, and so. Go ahead. My bad. Go ahead.
And just to piggyback off of what you're saying, and there's some guy fighters out there that do the same thing, and we talk about them just as much. And the crazy part is that Keys is saying this, but the guy in the main event this weekend is the guy that people are looking at now like, hey, what's going on? He's really, really kind of boring in there. So me and one thing about this show, we keep it a buck. So if we start seeing some things that we don't like, we will point it out, even if it's somebody that we respect, you know, we call a spade on this show. So, and we, you know, like Key said, it's a couple of female fighters I like. You know, I like watching Shevchenko fight. I think she goes for finishes. I think she goes out there and be aggressive. I like watching Aldana fight. I like watching her fights. Key's other girl, the redhead, the young lady that dyes her hair red, I like watching her.
Jillian Robertson?
Because, yeah, she the one that be going
for.
That's
one of my other ones, man. Come on, man.
Yeah.
You know Jillian Robertson. Thank you for bringing that up, man. You know what's actually funny? I think I follow her on social media, and, like, I feel like I do more, like, watching her posts than I actually do, knowing when she's – because I feel like she hasn't – I don't remember the last – She's pretty active, but I don't know when her next fight is. That's something that I have not heard about. But yeah, I thank you for bringing that up because she's one of the ones I really like watching too. And she's one that, and know what though? She's one that is coming forward in the fight though, and she's always trying to finish fights. Like every fight, she's trying to finish the fight. Like she's not in there just hanging around. And like if she's on her feet, she's banging. You know what I mean? And it might not be her biggest, you know, strong suit. She's striking, but she still puts in work, and if she has to get the fight to where that she's more comfortable, she does. But when she gets there, she's trying to finish you, and she's trying to finish you in the first round. Jillian Robertson wants to finish you as quickly as possible, and I don't think there's any problem with that, you know.
Yeah, because her fight style, she uses aggression. She uses her forward aggression to lead to her takedowns. To lead her to her submissions. So everything she does in there is with aggression to get the fight where she want to get the fight to. So it's like I said, I like watching her. I like watching Shevchenko. I like watching Aldana. Some people might not like this one, but I like watching Angela Hill. And they probably the four that I really like watching, man. I don't think that in any of their fights I can say was a snooze fest because of their style, they make the other girl fight. they're going to make you fight them or you're going to get beat up. So, you know, it is what it is. But I just wanted to let the audience know that if it were guys out there doing what Key's talking about, we'll point that out. It don't matter. If your style is boring or lackluster or you are just a decision fighter, if you're going to be a decision fighter, at least be an exciting decision fighter. Don't be one that come in there and you're going to land 75 leg kicks. I just don't see that as being exciting. But outside of that, hey, man, this card is really loaded with some names on it. And I've noticed on the early prelims that, you know, they got some up-and-comers on the prelims. And then on the Then on the prelims, they got some veterans, some good veteran fighters on the prelims, and then, you know, we go on to the pay-per-view. So this card is definitely, I think it should live up to the billing.
Yeah, and the thing is, too, is that, you know, to that point is that we said it. I mean, when what were we up here saying when the first fight that comes to mind, when you talk about Israel Adesanya putting on Snooze Fest, first one that comes to
Romero.
Mind is him and Yoel Romero, exactly. That's the first one, because that's probably the biggest one. That was probably the worst one. I was like, wow, they really just put on one of the worst fights probably in history. Like, that's probably a bottom five fight ever in UFC. Like, that was really bad. Like, from both guys. Like, what the hell was, you know, Romero doing, too? Like, both of those guys were just like, yo, what is happening in this fight? You know what I mean? You know, Ngannou and Derrick Lewis, like, that's down there with those. And so, yeah, Adesanya, I mean, when he fights Whitaker, it's always a exciting fight. I like both Whitaker fights. I mean, Costa was a good fight. Adesanya, but, yeah, but the Romero, we were up here saying it was a snooze. I don't remember what we said about the Vettori fight, but I don't really remember what that fight was even like that much. I don't know. Yeah, Adesanya and Vettori, too. I don't really remember it. It must not have been that good, but if it wasn't, I'm sure we were up here saying it, you know?
I don't remember that fight being that good because I just didn't feel Vettori would do what he needed to do to win that fight, and what he needed to do was make Adesanya feel him on the mat. And I thought Vettori was trying to prove a point in that fight by trying to stand and bang with Adesanya. And everybody know Adesanya is a superior counter striker. So you have to make him fight off his back sometimes, and Vettori just didn't do it. You know, like he said, some fights are just snooze fest. Even when you, as much as, you know, it's hyped up, there's nothing that you can do about it once they start, when they get in there. And not to pile on the women, but that Rose Namajunas, Carla Esparza fight, man, that's probably one of the top five worst fights in UFC history also. So, you know, but sometimes you got to take the good with the bad, man. So hopefully this weekend is all good.
Yeah, and you know, like I thought Adesanya and Jared Cannonier, like my thing I thought about that was I definitely thought Adesanya 5-0'd Cannonier, like for sure. I was definitely kicking back when I watched it. Like I was definitely very relaxed. The fight had me very, very zenned out. I will say that. You know what I mean? It wasn't an exciting fight. You know what I mean? I wouldn't say it was an exciting fight. It was definitely one you kind of just had to watch each like little movement that was happening because there wasn't like a ton of shit happening. So it wasn't exciting. But I don't know if I would call it a snooze fest because like it did keep me entertained, but I wouldn't say it was exciting. You know what I mean? And I could see people calling it boring. I wouldn't compare it to his Romero snooze fest. Like, I don't think it was like that, for sure. I definitely don't think it was on that level. But it wasn't an exciting fight. But I do think that a big reason for that is because that fight what was going on there was that it was Adesanya, like you said, he's such a like high level counter striker. He's gonna sit there and, you know, chip away at you and just kind of wait for you to make the wrong move so he can counter it and hit you with something, kind of like he did to Whitaker when they first fought, when he first got the belt. It was like pretty much that was a big, you know, counter. That was a big counter that Adesanya landed, and it cracked him. And, you know, props to him for that. But Cannonier just wasn't able to really get inside with anything. You know, it seemed like he was kind of – it seemed like Cannonier was, like, confused. It seemed like he was trying to figure out, like, where to hit Adesanya. He couldn't really get it. He couldn't really get to him. You know what I mean? Adesanya was just too – he's so elusive in that way that it was just – that fight was just – it was a big mismatch, you know, and Cannonier just wasn't – I mean, Cannonier's a good fighter too, but I feel like we said it was going to be like that. Like, Cannonier just wasn't really a dude that, I want to say neither one of us really felt like he had a shot in that fight, and that's really what you saw, because if you're not going to, you kind of have to pressure Adesanya, you know, but that puts you in danger though at the same time. That's why he's so tough to beat. I feel like one of the things that makes him so tough to beat is that it's like, if you're going to catch him with something, you kind of have to fight him the way Kelvin Gastelum did, and you have to really throw
him. You
got to
keep pressing him.
You know,
You got to keep coming forward.
Yeah, like
you might
Kelvin
have to
Gastelum
eat a couple
really,
shots. Yeah, go ahead.
That was exactly the way Gastelum fought him. I feel like is the exact way you have to fight him. You know, and Gastelum really overall, arguably had the best performance against Adesanya to date. Arguably. You know, arguably he did. I mean, you could probably put that there, and then you probably put his rematch with Whitaker that just happened. You probably put those two, and then whichever one of those two you think was more. You know, those are probably one and two for me, or two and one, whichever one. But those are probably the two closest, you know, shots anyone's gotten to you know, figuring out Adesanya. Gastelum probably, you know, has the best showing at that, and it was, you know, coming forward and not letting him sit back and wait, you know, like and Gastelum took a lot of shots and he was exhausted and he ended up losing the fight, but he went balls to the wall in that fight, you know. And I guess that's what's so hard about Adesanya is that it's like you have to fight him that way, but you have to fight him that way to make him think and to make him react, and also to make him possibly a little bit sloppy, because the stuff you're throwing is you're throwing shit at him so quick, because like when these guys wait and you try to counter strike with him, and he's already a counter, it's kind of like the way Woodley and Wonderboy 2 was. Woodley and Wonderboy 2 was like, okay, Wonderboy Thompson is like a, you know, he's like just like an Adesanya, pretty much. He's just like that. And then Woodley was trying to counter strike too. So then you had two guys trying to wait on each other to make that shot. And now you kind of have a stalemate. So that's pretty much what happened with Cannonier in a way. But only Adesanya was peppering him with shots the whole fight while he was kind of sitting back waiting for that big shot or whatever he was trying to wait for. And Adesanya was kind of just, like, hitting him, like, you know, if you look at the strikes, I'm sure Adesanya probably landed over 100 strikes or something like that. Like, he was definitely landing on Cannonier, but Cannonier was just trying to, you know, wait for that big opening or whatever he was waiting for. And it just, Adesanya was too elusive. It's like, if you're not going to pressure fight him, you know, you're kind of going to end up in that position where you're trying to counter him and he's trying to counter you. You know, and then you haven't been able to hit him the whole time, so now you just lost the fight by unanimous decision. So it's just, that's the way it is.
Yeah, man. I just think it's like what you said, man. It's sometimes when your opponent is so good at something that you don't want to take risks. But when you're trying to become the champion, you should leave no doubt, bro. You should be in there willing to put it all on the line to win a belt, man. And I just think some of these guys and girls that get in the ring, they're not willing to put it, you know, all on the line. I thought Cannonier, his best shot was he would have to close the distance, be willing to take a shot, to give a shot, and he will have to pressure Adesanya with his power. And he was in the fight. He just chose to stay on the outside. How you going to fight on the outside and you at a reach disadvantage? That makes no sense. So hopefully Saturday we see a better fight. I think we're going to see a better fight Saturday. I think Pereira's a guy that's not going to, you know, we'll talk about that later. But, hey, what you want to talk about, bro?
Now, so what I'm gonna just say, I want to ask you this before we get into our predictions here, and this is a question that, because I saw Chael Sonnen, right? So Aljamain Sterling, first of all, so we already know what he's saying. He's saying he wants to take time off. He said 5-round fights are a lot, to, you know, the preparation, and he wants to not fight again until June, right? So a lot of people are kind of going at him right now and saying, like, why so long? Why to wait? You know, why wait till June? That seems like a long stretch. You pretty much just dispatched TJ Dillashaw. You pretty much just dispatched him. You dispatched TJ in 2 rounds. You smashed him out, and I don't even think he got hit. And like you said, he took no damage, and now he doesn't want to fight till June. So I hadn't really sat back and thought about it. I didn't really know how to respond to it. But I will say this, I mean, October to June, I mean, that's 8 months. It's kind of a stretch, you know, that's not too far off from a year. Chael Sonnen, so this is the question I'm getting to. Chael Sonnen, I saw a clip, I haven't watched the whole video, but a clip from Chael Sonnen's channel. And Chael Sonnen is basically saying, he's more or less suggesting that they strip Aljamain of the belt, is what he's suggesting. I'll put that in short. He's saying that, he's basically shooting down the idea of, like, oh, make an interim title and, like, have O'Malley and Chito Vera fight for the interim title, and then they fight the winner when he gets back. But he basically shot down that idea and says that if guys have no, like, particular reason for why they're sitting out and they just want to sit out for a long time, you don't make interim titles. That's when you strip them of the belt. So how do you feel about that take? What do you think is necessary in this situation?
I know we talked about this last week, and I was basically thinking the same thing Chael Sonnen said, but I didn't want to be kind of brash or rash in my take, because maybe, you know, maybe he got an injury or something that we don't know about. But I know that in that fight against TJ Dillashaw, I know Dillashaw landed less than 10, touched him up less than 10 times in that whole fight, so he didn't take no damage. And then he took, basically, he was off basically a year coming into the fight, I want to say. Well, maybe not a year within the fight, but see, man, this is why people would not get behind. This is why people won't get behind Aljamain Sterling, is because of stuff like this. You know, number one, when he first won the belt, everybody felt that, yo, that's a sorry way for him to win the belt. Okay. But he did win the belt. And then after he won the belt, which was March 6th of 2021, he didn't fight again to April 9th, 2022, 11 months off. April, May, March, April. So he was a year off. Yeah, he took a year off. So, and then he just fought again in October. So basically, he fought April 2022, and then again October 2022. May, June, July, August, September, October. That's 6 months. What's wrong with him fighting in April or May? Next year, or March or April next year, we'll just go in November, December, January, February, March. That's 4 months. April is 5 months. May is 6 months. So basically, Keys, he right on schedule. If you really look at it, he normally fights anywhere from 6 to 12 months. So only way the UFC going to strip him of the belt is if the UFC comes out and get him 2 fight dates between now and maybe June, and he turned both of them down. I see the UFC then saying, you know what, this guy doesn't want to fight and strip him of the belt. That's the only way I see that happening. But outside of that, I see him being on par with what he's been doing. So it is what it is. Because Pedro Munhoz, he fought him June of 2019. And guess what his next fight was? June 6, 2020. That was a year.
And that was another year for PMAS, right?
Yeah, then he went June 2020 to March 6, 2021 between fights. So, yeah, man, it's just, yeah, man, I don't like it because, to me, it's semi-holding up the division.
I just think, like, and if you – I think if you have the injury, you should have to disclose it. And you should have to – if you're the champion, you should have to tell them right away what is going on. And if you're not going to be able to fight for, you know, a long period of time like this, you have to have a valid reason why you can't. Not because you don't want to. I mean, I don't think not wanting to fight – I don't think that should be – I lean towards saying that shouldn't even be allowed. I don't think you should say, I don't want to fight until this time. It should be, I can't fight until this time, if anything. You know, it's almost like having a doctor's note. Like, oh, I didn't, you know, da-da-da, and have a, you know, surgery on this date, so now this recovery, like, if you're going to have something like that, it's valid. But, you know, and then they can handle it how they want to handle it. But if you're just going to say, I prefer to not fight for another 8 months, like, that's kind of shaky, man. I don't really know. I mean, especially after that fight. I mean, if you had a 5-round war, like, maybe, because especially in a 5-round war, you probably did sustain some injuries, but that one, man, I can't imagine. I mean, unless he hurt himself in training camp or something, maybe, but I don't know, man. I'm not mad at what Chael's saying, though.
But let me ask you this, Keith, because you've been a proponent of this. If they was paying champions $1 million a fight, do you think he would take 8 months off?
Nah, no way. No way. He would be fighting at least twice a year if yeah, if he was getting that. No way.
So, I'll leave it at that.
And we can leave it at that. I think next week, you know, we could dive into this topic a little bit more, and I'll probably have watched that Chael video by then so we could get more into it. But right now is the time. Right now is the time for our UFC 281 predictions. These are the final predictions. Leah, I hope you're ready. We need the concrete predictions for every one of these fights. Carlos Barca and Zhang Wiley, you know, we might even predict that one first, since you said that could probably go better as the opener for the main card. We could predict that fight first. So let's just go ahead and predict that fight first. Who you got winning that fight, man?
This fight is going to be a contrast of styles. Because you got a sponsor who wants to take you down, try to submit you ground and pound, whereas Wiley Jane wants to stand and bang, use her quick hands and her striking. Depending on which lady can impose their will, that will be the person that win this fight. And I'm going to go with Wiley Jane winning this fight because of her training with Henry Cejudo. I think Henry is even going to – I think he's been in her corner her last couple of fights. So with that being said, I like Wiley Jane to win this fight in a tough I ain't gonna say a tough fight, but I think she starts off kind of slow and then she starts building her momentum. I'm gonna say Wiley Jane wins this fight, 2nd round KO. If not 2nd round, definitely 3rd round. I don't think Esparza can deal with her power and her fast hands. So, yeah, I'm going with Wiley Jane to win this fight.
It's so crazy you say that because while you were talking, you know, I solidified it in my mind that Ann knew for Zhang Wiley was my prediction. You know, I knew I was going Zhang Weili. I just had to figure out what rounds, and I also felt like she would win by finish. I just wanted to decide for myself what round I thought it would happen, and if it would happen earlier, you know, a spot that might hold her, you know, if she might decide to wrestle, and Zhang Weili can't deal with the wrestling. But I think she's gotten better at wrestling. You know, she's gotten notes to be better, and I think she will be able to deal with it. I'm going same pick as you. I'm going Zhang Weili, second round KO, and Newt. So for the next fight, we're going right into it. I don't know exactly what the lineup is. I don't have the lineup in front of me, but I know. Hold on, Frankie and Chris Gutierrez. Hold on, let me get this. My bad. I don't even have the. Oh, man. Oh, what am I doing out here? I don't even have the lineup in front of me, man. Hold up. I'm making this look better. All right.
Dan Hooker, Claudio Puelis.
Yeah, your favorite fighter, man. Lee's favorite fighter. I don't know how. I'm really shocked at how Dan Hooker is still number 12 at lightweight. I'm confused at how this is possible. But, okay, Dan Hooker is ranked number 12 versus Claudio. Is it Puelis? Puelis?
Yeah. I don't know how you say it.
Claudio Puelis?
Claudio Puelis, I think it's
Puelis.
Puelis, though.
That's probably it.
All right.
Puelis, that sounds right. So Claudio Puelis, I don't know this guy at all, but I'm going to just go ahead and make my pick. I think Dan Hooker gets smashed in this fight. Dan Hooker is pretty much done. I mean, he's looked really bad. He's looked really chinny. He's looked very beatable, you know, in this. I think he's on a five-fight losing streak. And given that he did fight all top guys and he also fought the current champion in one of those fights, he does get a pass, you know, for at least fighting those high-level guys. But I don't know, man. I can't – it's hard to tell with Dan Hooker, man. Same thing with Tony. It's like if you give them, like, a guy that we don't know, like, do we know that they could beat that guy that we don't know? Like, you think they can, but can they? So I'm going to go with Claudio Puelis. I think Claudio Puelis, I don't know if he's a knockout guy or if he's a submission guy or what his thing is, but I'm going to go with him but first round knockout.
Looking at his record, he's a submission guy. Submission armbar, submission rear naked choke, submission. So he's a ground guy. Man, you know I can't stand Dan Hooker, man. I think he's one of the most overhyped guys in the UFC. He really doesn't have the skills to me to be a top 15 guy. But one thing about him, when they put him in there against guys he's supposed to beat, he go in there and beat them. So I think the UFC has put him in there with a guy he's supposed to beat. So I'm going to pick Dan. I can't even believe I'm fixing my mouth to say this. I'm going to pick Dan Hooker to win this fight, man. Oh, man, I can't. Because I'm looking at his record, right? So he lost to Arnold Allen KO. He lost to Islam submission. Then he beat Hat Paris, a guy he's supposed to beat. He won that fight via decision. Lost to Michael Chandler KO. Lost to Dustin Poirier. Questionable win over Paul Felder, I think. I think he had a questionable win over Ali Kenta also. So it's just the guys that that have a name, he seems to struggle with. But the guys that he's supposed to beat, he normally beats them. So I think the UFC made this fight with that in mind, that he's supposed to beat this guy. So I'm going to go with Hooker, man. I say Hooker wins this fight via split decision. But I think it's going to be a controversial split decision. So I'm going to go with Dan Hooker winning split decision on this fight.
Next one up, we got Frankie Edgar is retiring after this fight, man. Frankie Edgar's last fight in the UFC, he confirmed it. I want to say at one of the media day, or maybe that was at the press conference. I haven't seen the press conference yet, but I saw like a little still. So this is his last fight. Frankie Edgar and this guy Chris Gutierrez, who I have no idea who that is. He's going to fight this dude. Chris Gutierrez, 18-3-2. Frankie's 23-10-1. Let's see. It's at 135. Frankie might have weighed in at 135.6, it looks like. So he almost missed weight. 39. I don't really know this Gutierrez guy. I don't have... Wait a second. Let me see this. Okay, UFC.com updated. They changed the way this looks now. You see the matchup stats, and you can click into win by, significant strikes, grappling. Everything is like on a separate tab. Like you kind of click it. You can click through it. It's kind of cool. They got the odds tab, you know.
That's why
pretty
I normally
cool.
use the ESPN. I normally use the ESPN when we do these. I had a card pulled up that way because everything is right there. When you click the matchup, it's right there, right under the names.
So one thing I'm seeing right now is that Frankie looks like this Gutierrez guy doesn't sound like he is much of a wrestler. You got takedown defense, 50% wins by KO. Okay, so he seems like he's more of a striker and grappling. Frankie lands 2.3. I think that's takedowns from. 2.3 takedowns per fight, basically. And this guy lands, he says 0.4, which I don't even know what that would mean. 0.44 takedowns per 15 minutes. I think that's like a takedown attempt. I don't even know what that means. But anyways, this sounds like one of those fights where Frankie could probably take this dude down and just dominate him with wrestling. It sounds like that could happen here. Just looking at the numbers, it seems like they've given him a striker that could probably KO him, but also a guy that, you know, a guy like a Jeremy Stephens who doesn't really have the skills that he has, at least not to the level he's at. So I'm going to go my prediction on this one. Chris Gutierrez, man. Oh, it's tough, man. Frankie's, he's looked rough, man. He has looked rough. I don't know, man. I'm going to have to let you go first. I don't know yet. I got to let this marinate.
All right, this is kind of real easy for me. This is a fight Frankie's supposed to win. But you know what? I'm going to go back to when I watched Donald Cerrone fight in Denver. And he was fighting, was it Jorge Masvidal? I think it was Jorge Masvidal, I think. And the crowd was behind him, everything. He had been, you know, doing a lot of media that week. And he seemed like he was ready to fight. But for some strange reason, fighting at home seems to, like, make him freeze up. I think Frankie, knowing this is his last fight, I'm hoping that he coming there with that warrior spirit, that he's going to come in there and win by all costs. But, man, he's just been so susceptible to getting knocked out in his last couple fights. I want to go with Gutierrez so bad. But I think Frankie's going to summon it up one more time. He's going to summon up the best of him for this fight. And I think the best of him is way better than Gutierrez. And I think the best of him is going to be him taking Gutierrez down, putting pressure on him on the mat, not standing up. So I'm going with Frankie, man. I'm going with Frankie Edgar to win this fight. And I'm gonna go as bold as to say it'll be a unanimous decision that he win this fight.
Man, I'm conflicted, man. I'm conflicted here. But you know what? You know what, man? Here's how we're gonna go. Usually, when I make picks, like, if it's going to be a guy I think will win with logic, but it's, like, also a pick with the heart, like, many times I'll be wrong. So I'm going to go Chris Gutierrez to win this fight. And I'll be rooting for Frankie, but this is going to be one of those ones. Chris Gutierrez, I'm going to go, damn. All right, I'm going to go second round knockout. Yeah.
Hey, people, Keys really want to pick Frankie Edgar. He really do. But I see you being objective. I got you.
Yeah, I just got to go because it's like, it's one of those ones. Like, when you want to see it, you know, you could just get devastated that way. So, now I'll let you have the angel, you know, the angel pick. You know, and I'll be on the dark side for a few. And then hopefully Chris Gutierrez, you know, gets choked out by Frankie in the first round or something like that. That's what I'd like to see happen. So, yeah, we'll put that up.
I think the longer the fight goes, it favors Chris Gutierrez, though. I think Frankie wants to get in there and get it over with because, as we have seen, the longer the fight goes, Frankie gets susceptible to getting punished. So, Frankie, get in there, do your work, get it over with.
Oh, yeah. So, let's go into the People's Co-Main event. We got Dustin Poirier. I want to say, I don't even know what he's ranked. Maybe like number 3 at this point. And then Michael Chandler, I think, is number 5. So, we got the two of them. Look at me acting like I don't have UFC.com pulled up. Hold up. Okay. Dustin Poirier is number 2, and I was right about Chandler. Chandler's number 5. So I said Poirier was 3. So 2 versus 5, we got Poirier and Chandler. Here's another fight where it's a logic and heart thing because, honestly, I would love to see Mike Chandler win this, man, and I'm still rooting for him to win this. But I'm going with Dustin Poirier to win this. I think Michael Chandler, I think his best route in this fight would be to get back to his wrestling ways. We saw him take down Tony Ferguson in his last fight, and he took him down with ease, and the takedown was very clean. And I was like, why doesn't Michael Chandler take dudes down? Why does he always want to absorb all these punches and get himself into wars? Like, those are very entertaining fights, don't get me wrong, but you also gas yourself out that way in a round. You know, he likes to throw himself in the first round. So it's like, why not just eat away at guys? That's how Dustin Poirier does it. He'll chip away at you and then, you know, KO you in the third round or something with the Keys special. You know, that's what Dustin Poirier does. Shout out to Dustin Poirier. By the way, Dustin Poirier's hot sauce is good. I don't know if I've ever said it on the show, but, you know, me and my brother bought his hot sauce and we tried it, and it's very good. So I would say try Dustin Poirier's hot sauce. Shout out Dustin Poirier. So with that being said, I would like to see Michael Chandler win, but I think he loses. I think Poirier beats him on cardio. I think Poirier, you know, exhausts Chandler. Chandler probably try to throw himself out in the first round. I don't know if he's going to use takedown. I don't know if he's going to use his wrestling. I have a feeling, you know, he's going to just try to get himself to another war. And Poirier, I think Poirier will probably end up TKOing Chandler. I'd say probably. I'm going with the Keys special on this one. I'm going Dustin Poirier by third round TKO over an exhausted Chandler that just threw himself out in pretty much the first round and was already exhausted in the second round, but he survived it. So I'm going to go with the third round TKO for Poirier.
Oh, man, Keys. Man. Chandler is so good in the first round. He is so, so good in the first round. But he got lucky catching Tony with that up kick, with that front kick to the face because actually Tony Ferguson was winning that fight. Taylor has definitely infused some excitement in this division. I'm going Poirier, man. I think Poirier striking is probably better. You know, they reach is about the same. You know, Poirier have a half inch reach advantage on him. I think Poirier just being a better technical, solid fighter and more skilled fighter, I like him to find a way to win this fight. But, like you said, if Chandler come out there in the first round, balls to the wall, it could be an early night for Poirier. But I'm taking Poirier to win this fight by unanimous decision.
All right, there we go. So for the main event time, by the way, I don't know if I got to it in the last one, but I meant to say it. Check out our Twitter. Follow us on Twitter at Lee and Keys, capital RT, Lee and Keys Real Talk. We got all our predictions posted up on there. Go check us out. All right, so the main event now. Here we go. This is easy for me. I got you. Ready? I'm going with Israel Adesanya. I think Israel Adesanya is going to beat him down. He's going to beat him down good. And as fun as it would be for me to come out and say Adesanya is going to knock him out, I'm rooting for Adesanya to knock him out. I don't think it's going to be like the Cannon Air fight, but I do think Adesanya is going to style on him for sure. He's going to make this dude look really bad. I do think that 100%. But I don't think it's going to be a knockout. I think honestly, Adesanya said he has a surprise for us. So I'm wondering if he's about to, like, come out and choke this dude out, or is he going to turn into a Habib, or what's going to happen, bro? Because he said he knows something that we don't know, and he's got a surprise. So I don't know. He might be drilling wrestling, man. What if he just shoots right away, man? I don't know. But either way, I'm going Israel Adesanya by unanimous decision in a fun decision. I think he's going to beat him up good and style on this dude and send him back to glory kickboxing in fashionable style.
I think it's going to be still, but I don't think this fight is going to be as boring or as lackluster as his other ones. I think Pereira is going to make Adesanya fight. I'm going Poirier, man. I just don't think Chandler can get it done outside the first round. He just hasn't proven to me that he can get it done, Keys. Until he proved to me he can get it done, although the Tony fight, he did get it done, but it was kind of a fluky knockout. But I like Poirier, man. That's what I'm going with. Poirier, I'm going to say split decision.
All right, who you got for Adesanya and Pereira, though?
Oh, my bad. Adesanya, my bad. I lost my train of thought.
I think you're adjusting your pick. Adjusting your pick.
I think Adesanya wins the fight, Keys, but I don't think it's going to be as easy as his other title defenses have been. I think Pereira is going to make him fight. I think Pereira is going to bring it to him. He's going to come forward. I think Adesanya is going to use his counter striking. He's going to look good in the counter strike game. But I think Pereira is not scared. I think he's going to try some things in this fight, maybe even go for a takedown. He's going to make Adesanya think, but Adesanya being as crafty as he is, as talented as he is going to find a way to win this fight. And I think he gets it done in the championship rounds Adesanya wins this fight. Four rounds to one, unanimous decision, but it will be a tough fight for him. And still Adesanya. But Pereira's going to be game.
All right. And there you have it. That's UFC 281. All our predictions, we got through it. That's the concrete picks. We had to go back and make an adjustment to his Chandler versus Poirier pick. That's how hard he was thinking about that one. He said he had to tweak that pick. Still for Poirier, but he had to adjust it to the split decision.
Yeah, so, man. Because I'm torn, dog. I'm torn.
Yeah, no, nah, I get just you. I got you. That's one of those ones. So that's really one of those ones. You know, he had to go back and adjust the pick. So split decision it is. Shout out to Poirier,
hey, Keith,
Chandler. That,
let me ask you a question real quick. Let me ask you a question real quick. Adesanya wins this fight. What's next?
I don't know, man. I was thinking about that. I mean, because they said if he beats – I really don't know, man, because they said once he – like, to me, is once he beats – so, like, once he beats Alex Pereira, he will have beaten – he will have beaten every fighter in ranked 1 through 6 in middleweight. He'll have beaten the top 6 fighters. So it's like, and we ain't really checking for like guys ranked 8 and all. Like, I don't think we really care about that. As far as, you know, title contention. Plus, even if we were, it's not like any of those, you know, guys down there coming off big wins that would like make them, you know, more of a prospect, you know, for the title or anything. So, yeah, he beaten 1 through 6 once he beats Pereira. And I really don't know, man. I feel like he pretty much won the game at middleweight. I mean, what are you like? What else are you supposed to do? You've beaten everybody. You know what I mean?
I got an idea, Keys. And
move back up
my
to that
idea
heavyweight.
Just, my idea. I was just strolling through the rankings. You probably won't like this, but this guy says that he's willing to fight at any weight. What about Khamzat going up and fighting him?
I actually do like that. I love that. I'm not mad at that. I'm a Chimaev fan these days. I think, and it's that kind of. I mean, I'm definitely hungry right now. I'm pretty hungry. Keith hasn't ate dinner tonight, but I still performed, and so. Yo, so.
Oh, that's my guy, man.
For real, bro. For real. I'm not gonna front to y'all. So I haven't had dinner tonight. So Khamzat kind of slipped my mind. I am a Chimaev fan these days, though. And if I had eaten, I would have had that on my mind. I would have known that Chimaev was there. And he could barely make welterweight now. You know, they're talking about him and Covington, but I don't know how he's going to make 170. You know, he barely made 175. He probably couldn't even make 175 for the last fight. You know, the life depended on it. So, yeah, I think that might, man, we'll see after the fight. I'm sure they're going to ask him, like, oh, who do you want next? And, man, that's a hell of a fight, man. That's a hell of a fight. I'll tell you that. That's crazy. I would like
that.
Yeah,
man.
I think that would be the only option. That'd be the only option, you know?
I would have to agree, man, because I just don't see him getting on the mic saying, yeah, I want to fight Sean Strickland. I just don't see him getting on the mic saying that, man. So I think Khamzat will probably be my choice for the guy he should fight next. But we shall see how it all plays out, man. He has to get by Pereira first on Saturday. But, hey, man, another great card. I'm definitely checking for the main event for the early prelims. I definitely want to see that fight as well. But, hey, any last words, bro?
Nah, I don't have anything, man. I'm, I'm about to go make myself some dinner after this. That's all I'm thinking about. I'm good, man.
At 9:30. He's eating dinner at 9:30.
Bro, it's just the way my schedule is. Well, I do tend to eat later. That's just the way my schedule is, but especially on Wednesdays because I kind of go back to back to back. I go from work, come back, then I do some work for my other job. You know what I mean? Then set everything up for the show. And then, you know, by the time I take a shower, like, it's pretty much time for the show. So, when you count everything, like, Wednesday is, like, my busiest day of the week pretty much, and it's back to back to back, so I don't even have time to make dinner before the show.
Yeah. Well, man, you know, I want to give a shout-out to the legal system, man, granting Cain Velasquez bail. You know, even though it was a $1 million bail, you know, they did grant him bail. So shout-out to the legal system for that. I'm hoping that Cain is given the best chance of, winning his case. If you don't know what's going on with Cain Velasquez, go out and read it. I'm not going to go into depth on it. But I thought he should have been granted the bail originally, but they finally gave him bail. So hopefully he can work on his defense and the legal system, see what happens with him. But with that being said, Leon Keys, signing out for the night. But before we sign out, you only got one life. Live that month till the wheels fall off. And if you can get the wheels fixed, get them fixed and live and ride some more. As always, we end the show with a peace.